God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Wise Women. This is Kathleen Francis, your host, for this wonderful opportunity to gain information, gain wisdom, to live a better life, and to be more effective in the matter of your own destiny. And so today we have a wonderful chiropractor who is not only a chiropractor, but she also is someone that counsels people on their nutrition and find the underlying causes of whatever conditions are not desirable in that person's life. And she also trains chiropractors. And she has a podcast called Health Pedal, which we will go into further exploration with. But this is definitely someone who is wise and effective in the way that she implements her wisdom in an effective way with she and her husband, Jim Consorti. And so, with that said, Dr. Ann Consorti, thank you so much. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Kathleen. So happy to be here again.
Yes. So, do you want to tell them a little bit about your, there's so many aspects to who you are and how you operate effectively in the world. So today's focus, what can we share with our public to give them a ground of being about who you are and what you can contribute to their lives?
Well, let's start with the journey, right? It always started with a journey. We all have our journeys. We all have our parts of our life that we've lived. And as we get on in age, we have lots of different chapters. And my initial chapter started out as a chiropractor in New York for 30 plus years, serving the community and helping people to heal from above down and from the inside out, always looking for the cause of the condition, rather than merely masking the symptom, right? We don't want to just mask the symptom. We want to find the cause. And from there, I began to dive deep into nutrition, working with herbs, working with people to balance the metabolic aspect of the subluxation. And then we got to move to Arizona, which is where we got to connect. And we began really diving into gardening. And we were moved by God, and I say we because it's me, my husband. We were moved by God to move to Texas. It's in my wildest dreams, we never would have envisioned us living in Texas full time. And once we got here, we were moved to not only build a house, but buy a farm, and now we're gardening. And through that journey, we are actually walking through the journey on our podcast, through Health Pedal, to teach other people how to free yourself of that global claw of dependence, how to be free and not have to depend on, a system that really is falling and we have no control of. And I was thinking the other day, like, we've done this before as humanity. We can do it again and go back to gardening and growing our food locally and forming communities or tribes where we work together and we can control what's in our food. And that brought us to that conversation the other day too, where we were talking about, well, you know, when you say safe and effective, like, who's saying it and what is it that they deem that safe and effective? Like, what is the desired outcome? What do they want?
Yeah.
Right. And when I look at that global claw of destruction, or their outcome is to depopulate us. So when they say, "Oh, this jab is safe and effective,"
I think that's what Gary's been talking about a lot. Yeah, let's see.
Right.
Can we trust what they say when it's evident that even now mainstream news is starting to say they're lying to us? Oh,
right.
Amazing.
But Yes, and all along, everyone's like, well, they said it's safe and effective. And yes, it is, because their desired outcome is death. So it's safe and it's effective if that's your outcome. But if your outcome is life, then no, it's not.
Their desired outcome is exactly correct, and it's safe and effective for the outcome to depopulate. Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. So, you know, that brings us to, like, discerning who's saying it and what are they saying. It's like when they were trying to tell us that athletes should drink chocolate milk after an event because it replenishes nutrition. I'm thinking, so my first question when they started to come out with this research was, so was it Hershey's or was it the dairy farmers that came up with that? Like, who's going to benefit from that statement? Because there's no truth in that.
It's amazing.
Right? I mean, right? Think about it. So their outcome is, this will help you replenish your protein, but Hershey's chocolate is not cacao off the tree, and pasteurized, homogenized, destroyed milk has no nutritional value. So on the surface, it sounds like dark chocolate and raw dairy would be amazing, but that's not what they're giving them. So
yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. It is.
And we have to not take what everyone says as truth.
Well, and we've said, we've shared this before, but my grandmother, who came from Italy, the old country, as they used to call it, she, and in Wisconsin, where we live, it's the tundra back there, but we have a few months of summer, and grandma would grow all of these vegetables in her garden, and then she would can them. And, that's what they would live on through the winter. And, I remember her, when we go down to her house, she would give us, a jar of beans that was canned or, antipasto, these kinds of things. And that was a special gift always, And in retrospect, I see how much more now what a gift that was. And, but grandma was the only one back then that would do the gardening, but that was customary. That was just customary. The tradition of, my parents having a garden, that didn't happen. But, now it's obviously extremely important for all of us to know some of these methods and ways to, have more control in the matter of your life, because it's clear that the people that we look to, our government, to be looking out for our best interest is certainly proving inexplicably that that is totally not true. So with that said, let's continue with this and your perspective on what would be useful for people.
So I think what would be useful for people is to not look at it and say, well, I can't garden, or I don't have a green thumb, or I could never do that, and just start small. We have to start somewhere. And I was thinking about, you can grow parsley, right? You can grow parsley in your window. You put it in a little cup of dirt and give it water and it'll grow. And so what's in parsley? Well, parsley is a really good digestive aid. It's what they call a nutritive, so it has a lot of nutrition in it. And it
lots of vitamin D.
Yes. Yeah, so your kitchen herbs are so medicinal that our ancestors knew that, which is why they cooked with them. Parsley, oregano, turmeric, right? Thyme, basil. They're all amazingly nutritional and easy to grow. Some of the seeds that you grow take forever to germinate, but these seeds just add water and off they go. And you can do it in a window. So you don't have to think, well, I don't have a big farm and I can't get started. What's the point of getting started? Because I don't necessarily dive into this because she's an expert at it, but Marjorie Wildcraft does a 50 by maybe it's 20 by 20. Yeah, so a small square of what to grow that would sustain you through the winter. And it's squash, like your winter squashes, because they're really high in great nutrition. And every single part of it, like your squashes, your pumpkins, those seeds are packed full of protein. So when you dry the seeds and roast them, that's great nutrition throughout the year. Plus you have the whole meat of the squash or pumpkin. And then your beans, any kind of beans, really. Your fava beans, lima beans.
Beans are so good.
Right? Green beans, long beans. There's beans. There's all kinds of beans and peas, right? They're in the same kind of category along with potatoes. And, you know, potatoes you can grow in a 5-gallon bucket. And you can sustain yourself, or you can start to. And, you know, each year you do a little bit more to get yourself more and more out of the food stores. Because the scary thing is, I don't remember if I did it on this podcast or another, so forgive me if I'm redoing this, but sometimes we need to hear things over and over again. They just opened a processing plant in California. Evil Mr. Gates and some other evil clown, I don't know who. And they want to, right? They're making meat in a lab. So they're calling it vegan meat, which is like ridiculous. So, you know, that's scary to me. So when they put it in the cabinet, if they get rid of it, you're not going to know the difference. Was it a cow or wasn't it? And then now their desired outcomes, they're going to get us every which way they can. So they want to begin shooting up cattle with this jab because they know it'll get in us if we eat it.
I also saw that they were actually bioengineering vegetables with it.
Yeah. So I don't know about you. I know you, and I don't, the people listening, like, that's not okay for me. Who are you to tell me how my food should be when God gave me and us nature? He gave us the plants that give back to us, that we give back to them. And it's a symbiotic relationship, and they're interrupting it because for some reason they believe that they're better than us. And I'm not sure that that's really a correct statement. I think they're better at being evil because we don't have that in us. Yeah. So it's a dive we have to take, and I think we're lazy as humanity. We've been made lazy. We've been industrialized. We've been spoiled. We've been living with blinders on while they were concocting this for eons. You know, this didn't happen overnight. So
no, for sure.
I think it's time we. Right? I mean, it's time, like, you know, get up and start moving. Do something. Do anything different than what's happening. Because I can't even say those words. I'm like, I can't even believe that we're as lazy as we are and so complicit in doing what they say. It's just mind-boggling to me.
I just can't fathom. I really don't. I mean, you know, again, you and I are both rebels to the max. And I just sadly see so many people that they just have no cognitive thinking. They don't think things through. If you present an idea contrary to their conditioning, they just absolutely reject it. And it's like, oh, you know, don't tell me these things. I don't want to hear it. You know, I just don't understand that. And I don't get it, but hopefully people who are listening to this, will be pioneers again. I mean, are we becoming pioneers in a new era of our existence? I pioneers of consciousness that has to take a left. I mean, I never thought of it like that, but maybe that's really, you know, what we're doing, you know? And it's so hard because you know, none of us want to actually be dealing with this. We just want to have a happy life. We want to do some work. We want to be creative. We want to express ourselves. But no, we find ourselves inextricably and undeniably in a war, you know, a consciousness war.
Well, we are in a war, and we're really not battling flesh and blood, right? As the Bible says, we're battling the spiritual battles. And to have that peace and consciousness, that'll happen when Yeshua, Jesus, comes again. And in the meantime, we're still human flesh and blood, and we still get to survive, and we can still be the Maccabees, right? You know, the Maccabees are the ones who took a stand against the king back then when they wanted them to desecrate their altar. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. And the father, he had five sons. He slayed the person who came that represented the king. And then one of the people from his church said, oh, I'll slaughter the pig on the altar just to get them for peace. And he said, no, you won't. And he killed him too. And then they took off and lived in the hills in survival mode for years until they amassed an army and slowly took back the temple. But they were that remnant. They were that, no, we're not doing what you're saying. We're not listening. It's just not happening. And where, you know, I wonder, where is that spirit? And those of us who have it, you know, our time is coming. We're going to have to institute it and be that.
Yeah.
And
right.
You know, I ask myself, okay, so I'm doing all this and I'm saying all this, and I really check myself and say, do I really have what it takes to say no? Like, when it comes down to it, will I give in?
So important what you're saying, because I have to trust that, you know, we all have that, you know, that thought that slips in to say, do I have what it takes to say no, you know, because some of the things that we're hearing.
Right, and what they're doing is trying to wear us down. And so how do we
wear
not get
down.
Worn down and wear us down, break you down, get you tired to just say, oh, whatever, just leave me alone, I'll do it. And how do we stay strong against that? And to me, it's keeping your body healthy, keeping your mind healthy, eating the proper foods, right? All these things that we're talking about, and the why behind us farming on our own, to get off of that global claw of destruction, to stand strong. And just think about this, like when we're farming, I don't need, at the end of the day, I don't need to go to the gym because I just had my workout.
oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that keeps us strong and healthy. And that keeps a clear, sound mind. And when our mind is clear and we're strong in physical and emotional strength, then we can withstand that, I believe. That, I mean, those are all the armor that we need. And of course, you know, you need God by your side. You can't, I don't think we can make it through this without being obedient to his word.
Yeah. Yep.
And it says it over and over and over again. When you read through the Bible, like, if you're obedient and follow my laws and keep my feasts, the pagan feast, then I will protect you all of your days. You will be fine. And we have to trust that. And when you get to that point and you have that full faith in God, in all honesty, whether you're here on this earth saying no or you're dead, you're good. Either way, you're good, because that doesn't mean you're not going to like suffer or have trials down here. And the closer we walk with him, the stronger we become. And then we don't have to depend on ourselves, because in my own strength, I could never do what we're doing. You know, it's a supernatural movement to be able to take this on. I mean, you know, you're older than I am. I'm no spring chicken. my mind thinks I'm 20, and then when I'm digging a hole, I'm like, well, I'm not 20 anymore, you know?
Yes. Yes, I know. Well, we'll have to take on Gary Null's rejuvenation, anti-aging study to the max, and just keep getting younger. That's right. What I think we should do.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I'm doing a herbal course, and there's actually like kind of thought of everything. There are herbs, hold on, they're called vulneraries. Vulnery.
What is this? What is it?
It's called vulneries. Vulneries. What that means is they help to rejuvenate our cells. And they're just herbs, actually. I don't mean just, because it's magical what these herbs are. But they're weeds. Really what herbs are, right? Weeds, like comfrey, you know? Comfrey's one that helps the body rejuvenate cells. It helps increase healing. So does yarrow.
Wow.
So it increases cell replication rate, you know, which is what we're trying to do with all these different vitamins and exercise. And all you have to do is grow comfrey and eat it.
Okay.
Put it on a wound.
Well, you know, have you considered, you know, I know you offer Zoom appointments for people with regard to, you know, the practices that you've done for so many years, but would you consider, you know, having a Zoom appointment for people to help guide them into the things that you have delved into so that you have this knowledge and can present it to people who are interested?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, we're here to help people move through in whatever direction they need to move through and how to help them. And one of my things that was placed on my heart was that I need to grow all these herbs, because in doing my nutrition with patients, I'm finding that it's becoming more and more of a challenge to be able to get these herbs and supplements, because the evil powers to be wouldn't want us to be healthy. And why would they want us to be healthy? Because we can resist that.
Let's ban that. Yeah,
exactly. Or echinacea's out, or artemisinin's out, or we can't get this, or it's unavailable. And that just says to me that they're trying to cut the chains, and we can grow our own and make our own. It's really that simple. So in this process, this season, that's one of my biggest pushes, is to get not only our food growing, but these herbs growing, so that we can make plenty of tinctures to help people with whatever comes our way, right?
So now what's going to become legal are, you know, all of the illegal drugs are going to be legal. And then what's going to happen is all of our herbs are going to become, we'll have to have a whole underground system, black market.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. I mean, I just saw that flash in front of my eyes and I thought, oh my gosh, it's too crazy. Too crazy.
Well, what's up is down and down is up. Yeah. So in answer to your question, there's two ways that they can do that. Yes, they could connect with me and email me at healthpedalorganic.com to set up an appointment for either nutrition or for help getting started gardening. And they can go to Brighteon, BRIGHTEON.com, Brighteon. And look up my channel called Health Panel. Yes.
And spell
and I have
pedal.
A channel there. And Health Panel. And there's a channel there that we're doing because it's a free speech. Yeah, it's a free speech. HEALTHPETAL, like Health Pedal. And if you say it fast enough, it's a healthy hospital. that's what what we are. I like the
I just didn't want people to think it was, you know, PEDDLE or something, however you spell like pedaling down the road.
Yeah, like a flower petal.
Yeah.
Like the beautiful flowers that feed us. And it's so amazing when you garden and when you're growing to see how nature works and to know that the soil is everything. And that's where all the nutrition comes from. And diversity, right?
Mother Earth.
So our newest endeavor that I came across, it's not new for by any means. I'm sure they've been doing it for eons, but it was new to us because I came across it on some, I don't know, whatever I was watching. It's called Hugel Culture. It's spelled
what is it?
H-U-G-E-L. It's called Hugel Culture. H-U-G-E-L-K-U-L-T-U-R-E. So I just put up two videos on my channel explaining it. And what it is we've made a raised bed. Technically, Hugel Culture is they dig a ditch, they throw in some logs, cover it over, and then plant on it. But here's the idea. If we look at how nature works, right? Plants give, let's go to the basics. So plants give out O2. We breathe in the O2. Plants take in CO2, and we breathe out CO2. So we're symbiotic with the plants, right? We kind of grow as the forest grows. And if you look on the forest floor, what's on the forest floor is all the stuff from the top of the trees, which is where all the nutrition goes into the leaves. But the leaves fall, the flowers fall, and that nutrition goes back into the soil, which feeds those roots to keep that tree growing. Right? I mean, it's like we've so complicated it with synthetic fertilizers, and you need a balance of NPK and all this stuff. They'd so complicated it. And a Hugel bed, for short, is what we did is we raised beds. We used some old materials around the farm. We used pallets and those corrugated steel roofing things, metals. I don't know. We have piles of them on the farm that we found. And they're about 4 feet tall, the bed, and it's about 7 feet long. And we just took old logs where they had mushrooms or whatever was growing on it, but old ones, because new ones would take too long to break down. Put that down on the bottom layer. The next layer is twigs from old trees that have fallen. So indirectly, you're cleaning up your yard or your farm. And then the next layer was like mulched leaves and some soil. And what else did I put in there? Some like composted stuff from your house or whatever. And then the top layer is like dirt, which becomes your soil. And the object is that those logs become a water reservoir. They also become nutrition underneath for the plants to grow. And then it just keeps breaking down and renewing itself over time as you add more soil on top because it's going to sink. And when you cut your plants, whatever you don't use, just leave, because that's all full of nutrition too, just like forest does. It's like genius.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Right?
And
it's interesting.
But that's a beautiful way to present that, you know, because I don't, you know, most people, you know, that's just the way it is. We know that that cycle through the various seasons, these things happen, but the way you presented how, you know, how it replenishes and rejuvenates, that's probably something that most people don't think about.
Right. And then when we look at nature and we look at our body replenishes and rejuvenates the same way, just a little differently. As long as we feed it the right nutrition, it can make healthy cells. But when we're feeding it on that food that's in the food store, it's going to just keep breaking down and be susceptible to immune overload, so that when they hit you with something or some new virus comes around, your body can't handle it because you're already packed filled with toxins. But if we are sticking to one item foods, foods that have one ingredient, right? What would that be? You know, people are like, they look at me like I have six heads. What do you mean a one ingredient food? I'm like, apple? What else is in an apple? It's an apple.
Yeah.
Right? Or a banana or broccoli versus that box that has a meaty thing on that uses the word natural. Like cyanide is natural too, but we wouldn't eat it.
Well,
so,
you know, I'll tell you, someone came in that I met a few days ago, and I asked her to please be in touch with me because I actually wanted her on this show and preferably with you. She was studying to be an organic, like someone that checks and handles organic food. They are farmers. Mm. She and her husband are farmers. She was going to school, and as she was going through the studies, she was learning the sad facts of the matter about how easily they can name something organic with just one tiny ingredient in it. And she quit. She quit. So the industry is flawed again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing how that greed gene that's obviously in our DNA or whatever, the nature of man, it just has run totally amok on this planet in such a sad way. Greed and power and, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure why I'm on this planet. I think I landed on the wrong planet. I'm sure of it. So,
You know, it's idol worship. And the good news about your statement for those who see that is you are aware and you are absolutely not of this world. And we're not supposed to be of this world. We're in the world. But we're not to be of this world because this world, they're barbaric survivalists that are out there that are running around crazy to accumulate the most. What was that? One time somebody had a bumper sticker. The one with the most toys wins. What are you winning? Right? And that's really what it is. And that indirectly is called idol worship, right? It doesn't necessarily look like an Asherah or a Christmas tree up on a high hill that we bow to and put gifts under. It doesn't look like that, but it's called, you know, power and greed and money and more and better and bigger and all of that. That's idol worship, same thing.
It's true.
And then there's people like you and me and that beautiful woman who just that I can't do this. There's no moral integrity here. We're not in this world because we don't see what the majority of the sheep will see. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God that we're in that category. We're the remnant.
Oh, true. True.
And in every age, there's a remnant. And in every age so far, like we keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I'm like, all right, Lord, we've had enough. How many people do you need to be your remnant, to get every knee to bow and every eye to look up? We're like, how many more years of this? It's been millions of years. Like, really? Thousands of years. Yeah, it's so crazy. There's new research dating us back, like, you know, 12,000 years with some other civilization, which makes complete sense, you know, that brought us up to Noah's flood, another self-destructive human, you know, existence. And here we go again. Crazy.
Mm.
So crazy.
Yep, it is.
So I always think, and I can only say that before we do anything, we should always pray first. And what I find interesting is, I never knew this, and I'm going to go in a little level of biblical, but there's four levels of Bible study, believe it or not. There's the first level is called the Peshat level, which is the plain level, right? That's when you're just reading the Bible. Then there's the Remez level, which as you're reading the plain thing, you'll see the hint that's underneath it. And then there's the, wait, I got to put my glasses on. The drash level, which is, you know what? Let me search deeper. And then there's the sod, which is the hidden meaning. So underneath it all, there's always two meanings to what we're reading in that.
Mm. And it just keeps getting that's hold on very one interesting. Second.
And the
because of course I was raised Catholic, and we never had we never looked at a Bible. There was never a Bible. There was never Bible study. We were only every morning, all morning, kneeling in the aisles, memorizing catechism. Catechism was the way that the Catholic Church conditioned us, but we never looked at the Bible, and I don't remember ever seeing a Bible in church, ever. There was none.
No, there wasn't. They didn't want you to know the truth.
Yeah.
And everything you need is in there. I mean, how to live, how to eat, everything's in there.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so important that we know that and understand that. And that moves us out of that global claw of dependence, that hamster wheel of, you know, who's going to help me next, rather than how do I help myself?
Yes. And, right? So now that I interrupt your completion of the four ways of looking at the Bible?
No, we talked about the hidden level that's in there, but you have to start reading it. In order to get to anyone, you know, to start at the top level and then move down through the other three levels. It just happens organically as you keep reading and searching and want for more. Like in anything, right? There's always another level. There's always another layer. Like if we get back to self-sustainability, right? There's a level of, you know, storing up food that's dried food. You can do that. And then this way you have a backup to what you're gardening. And you have to start small. You can't start big. You can't, I mean, I guess you can. You're not going to go buy a farm and say, let me start this. And I've never gardened before. You want to start small and build. And like you said, like the food that's labeled organic in the food store, it may not be.
It definitely may not be. You know, and I'm even the company that calls themselves organics. You know, I mean, they probably decided that's a great name, and you can call your company organics, and you don't have to even be doing organic anything.
Exactly. Well, just like all natural. Where I remember at first when we moved to Sedona, and there was natural grocers, and I used to look at Jim and go, natural? I hate that word. Everything's natural. I don't believe them. But it turns out that they really were sourcing some local organic food. It was amazing, but normally, that doesn't mean what it says. You're right. People use them to lure you in to their thing.
Yeah, and have you pay more money for something that isn't what you're actually, that you're not buying what you think you're buying. You're just paying more and thinking you're getting it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, like, gets really scary. So, you know, there's always, you know, in New York, Arizona, everywhere, there's a cattle rancher somewhere nearby who's raising his own cattle that you can go see the operation and buy a quarter of a cow or a half a cow. And at least you know what it got fed because you can ask. Yeah. And see
well,
that guy, person I know.
Healthier foods, healthier this, healthier that. It obviously, you know, took off. Gary Null was one of the top pioneers in this whole movement of, you know, vegan and, you know, the Gary Null's Whole Foods. He had the first Whole Foods, and then Whole Foods stole his name. So, you know, but when he started, there was no conversation about this. So he and a small number of people, you know, what was his name? You know, the fitness workout guy, that lived to be 100.
Jack LaLanne.
Jack LaLanne. You know, he had tremendous impact.
Yeah.
These were, you know, people that were pioneers in redirecting our perspective on how to live better. And a lot of people, little by little, people jumped on board. And then, of course, the globalists thought, oh, let's cash in on this. How can we make this seem like they're buying something and we can charge them more? You know, and they think they're getting what they're wanting. You know, it's just, oh, I'm sorry. I'm in a bad mood today. It just seems also nefarious.
Yeah, well, it was a marketing. Okay. Yes, it's all marketing. And think about it, though. They slipped it in because when we first started out, they weren't spraying the foods to the...
No.
Right? And then,
right.
You know, all of a sudden they started. And I remember back when I started using supplements and telling people, like, go find organic food. Let's go to the local farms. They looked at me like I had six heads. Like, why? I'm like, because they're starting to kill us here. Here comes Mount Satan, right? Trying to soak your Roundup.
Yep. So and the horrible things they did to so many farmers. They made them buy their seeds or they prosecuted them. I mean, you know, oh, Lord above.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Evil.
I'm destructive. Yeah. Pretty pathetic. So, all right, I know I'm on my high horse today. I'm not quite sure why, but I probably breathed in too many chemtrails yesterday or something. I don't know. But, you know, we have to be constantly on the lookout to detoxify our body and put good things in it. And it's always very painful to watch people close to us that are not on board, you know.
I know.
But, you know, it's
not that they're not on board. They just don't want to be aware. And a lot of people don't want to know that their choice was not a good one. Nobody wants to know that.
Oh,
and people
absolutely. Yeah. My gosh.
It's to no fault of their own. It's our human nature. We don't like to be wrong.
Correct. That's it. That's it right there, you know. And, my gosh. You know, I mean, my family structure, yeah, and I don't know if, I don't think that was true in your family structure. I think your family was a little different. But in my family structure, I was the one that left the clan, went out into the world, and kept coming back every year to... you know, to share the good news. But to them, it was never good news. And I was, you know, always like, oh, that's Kathy again, you know. And I don't know if any of it mattered to them. And I think that sometimes they just saw me as, oh, she's all puffed up. Oh, she's always coming back with all this. You know, it interrupted their basic, as if I was better than, and never was the way I felt myself. But I, you know, it's like we have to find ways to penetrate through their own thought processes in order to, you know, bring them something to benefit them. That's always the way I've, you know, tried to do things, and I know you too as well. I know that about you. So, you know, I think part of what we must do is to find the way to present things in such a way that they can hear, you know, that they can hear us. And I don't know if that's ever, you know, it's just like that one video I think I sent you where, you know, this minister said, everybody can't go. Just, you got to get it. Not everybody's going to be able to go. And you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. I mean, not everybody's going to go in the first harvest, but everybody, it says it in the Bible, will have that chance. They will all have it without a doubt. But some of them are going to choose not to want to, which is mind-boggling.
Right. Right. You know, I mean, look, there are, especially, you know, coming from the entertainment industry like I have, you know, and often have felt, oh, I missed my life because I didn't use the grace I was given by the incredible people that favored me and the talent that I was given from God and so on and so forth. But if I had moved into that larger position in the entertainment industry, which I was very capable of being able to do, I most likely, given my very kind of naive nature, I would have been one of the Me Toos. I would have been compromised. My soul would have been stolen, basically. You know? I know that that's true. So in my own way, even though I've often felt like I was a failure and missed the mark, I know that I was protected in truth, you know? So,
sure.
I don't know.
That brings us back to the initial, really that summed up all three points of what we're talking about. What's the desired outcome of the person giving the information? And how do you discern whether that information is a truth that you can align with? And then how is that working with nature or against it? And that pulls kind of everything together in every decision that we make. And ultimately, you know, you got to go into prayer and you got to ask the Lord to guide you in the direction to make and be able to discern what the truth is, and then to be strong to stand by it. Right. And you've been that way. And it's not easy being a salmon, right? Going uphill, upstream.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to go with the crowd. It's very simple. Oh, well, they're all doing it. How bad could it be?
Right.
You know, they all drank the and they're all dead. So,
yeah.
You know, we have to, like, look. And some people want to put blinders on and not see. And that's why, I mean, how many times in the Bible, when you read it, does Yeshua say to those who have ears will hear and to those who have eyes will see? And that's the people who want to be open to the truth and are okay being wrong and are okay making a change and are okay, you know, turning around, repenting and not going back to the same ways that they've always been going. You can't repent and go back and do the same thing and expect a different result. It doesn't work. That's insanity.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah.
The human condition, right?
Yeah.
We are a condition.
Yeah. We are. We are. You know, and I mean, I could have been conditioned, you know, in a different way. I'm always aware of that. And I think, you know, could have been me. And somehow by the grace of God, you know, I feel that I am on, you know, the harder path, but the better path I feel. And as much as I can love somebody and want for them something, if they are not receptive, there's nothing that I can do. And, you know, there are people in my life who I consider wise, and I know who probably feel like, Kathleen, you're not listening to me. You know, you have to do this, and I'm trying my best to be receptive but still hold my own center of my own self and what I know I need to do. And that's hard. But
it is hard. And that's where we have to pause, right? When someone's giving you information to say, I'm grateful that you're telling me that, and I will have to think on that. I will have to assimilate it and discern whether that is a truth for me or not. And to be able to to stay that way and be the example. And that's all we can do. We can't make someone do something. We can't bring someone along. We can't force them to do anything.
No,
we can just be the example and understand that we're all exactly where we're meant to be. And we're all on our own individual path, learning our individual lessons in our way and not someone else's way. And it's so hard sometimes, you know, especially as a parent, to watch your kids go down a path. And yet that's their path. And they won't learn the lesson if you constantly protect them from learning that lesson. They're going to get it a harder and harder way unless you just let them go down the first one, for gosh sakes, and let them learn. Mm. But, you know, so many times we coddle or want to protect people from having to go through what we went through. Yet it's the very thing that we went through that brings us to who we are today.
Yes, I've been through some horrendous situations, and I have tried in the midst of it say to myself, God must love me so damn much because he sure is doing his best to make me strong.
Those moments, right, when you're in a situation, they're like, what was I thinking? Like, what made me do this?
Yeah. It's true. Yep. And I keep thinking that, you know, that where is an oasis? I just feel sometimes like I just need a little rest. I don't know if you feel that way.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Yeah, but that's interesting that you brought it up. And, you know, really, again, I love that we can go back to the Bible. And every seventh day there is a rest. It's called the Sabbath. And it starts on Friday evening and it goes to Saturday evening. It's not Sunday, that's the first day of the week, but there is a day of rest, and we should take it. I heard a story of a woman who came to that truth. She owned some sort of store, and I think she was like in Illinois. And when she realized that, she closed down on Friday night at sunset and didn't open again until Sunday morning. It was like a bakery. And she said when she did that, and started to follow the Sabbath rest as dictated by the fourth commandment, her business throughout the rest of the week was like had doubled just because she made that one choice. Isn't that fascinating? I was like, that's amazing.
I wonder if I could tell the tourist to come instead of on the weekend to come during the week.
Well, you know, she just closed. It was a bakery. Everybody goes to the bakery on Saturday, you know? So crazy. So, yeah. I don't know, you know? I don't know. It was just a story that she had said that she did. And she just did it. Like, I heard the story just a couple months ago where she made that choice. Fascinating. But we have to give us the grace on a rest day to really rest and not like not do, you know, and not then do 8,000 other things.
That's another long story. The foibles of Kathleen. But I just really appreciate all of the effort that you have put into learning as much as you have and being able to be that center point to disseminate so much value to whoever comes to you for counseling. Again, I really want people to know that they can contact you for either, you know, their health issues by setting up an appointment on Zoom. I had some other people that I know had done so with you and were so impressed and so thrilled to have that opportunity to spend time with you. And tell people again how to reach you for those wonderful opportunities.
I also forgot. I did. Yeah, we have a Facebook page, Health Pedal is what it's called. And then our Brighteon channel is Health Pedal, P-E-T-A-L, Health Pedal. And that's Brighteon.com. You can go there and subscribe to the channel and communicate through that, through the comments. And then our email address is healthpedalorganic@gmail.com. healthpedalorganic@gmail.com.
Okay,
so
good.
Our website's a work in progress. And so that's how you can connect and communicate with us. And please, like, you know, who's ever listening, go to our channel and just listen. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't do anything, at least you'll have some of the information on maybe why you might want to do something small as far as self-sustainability, because that's really where we got to go. We have to be self-sustaining communities that are, you know, separate from the federal government, or that global claw of destruction.
Yeah.
We want to be so the solution. We are the solution. We're the only ones that can come up with the solution for ourselves. No one's going to do it for us. So we have to do it ourselves.
Well, that's, I think that's the most critical thing for us to really have penetrate into our own awareness that this is critical, to take that new perspective on the way we live.
So, right.
All right. Well, I think we have accomplished the goals today, unless there's anything you feel that we missed or some point that you want to stress. We have about another minute to wrap this.
We hit our three key points. I think we're good.
I think we are. So, Dr. N, once again, I so appreciate you as a wonderful contributor to Wise Women. And certainly, personally, someone that has contributed greatly to my own well-being and insight and perspective on what might make my life better. You're a gift to everyone who knows you and who has the privilege of having a session with you. And I strongly advise people to take an opportunity to connect with Dr. Ann. I expect some accolades. I better start telling people how to reach me. I do have a Facebook page, too. But Kathleen, with a K, Francis, Francis, and that's on Facebook. If you want to connect with me, whoever is listening, please do. Let me know your impressions, and let me know how you feel the show is serving you. And if you have suggestions for guests, I'm certainly open to that. So I look forward to hearing from those of you who are listening. And once again, this is Wise Women and Kathleen Francis signing off for another wonderful opportunity to connect with those of you who are listening on PRN, progressiveradio.com, PRN.org, PRN, Progressive Radio Voices, all that good stuff. From the PRN studio, I'm signing off. Take good care and have a wonderful week. Take care. Bye-bye.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life.